You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It was so good to have you here at the Wessa Retail Roundup. I am Glenn DeGeek, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning. We just had our 15th anniversary on November 1st, so we've done over almost 4,000 episodes now of that show, one of the longest-running daily podcasts in the world, all about horses. And welcome to the Wessa Retail Roundup. We're glad you're here again. We're your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. We do panel discussions, we do webinars, we do sessions like today where we have fantastic guests to help us out with how to do things better in our retail operation, whether it's English or Western, or even whether you, and sometimes you could be a manufacturer, things like that. This all applies to you as well. And it's only 2 months away now from Wessa, actually, in Dallas. So we're looking forward to that as well. Now, Amanda Harridan is here. She joins us to share how retailers can harness social media storytelling, video trends, and creator-style content strategies to grow visibility, to connect with customers, and to boost sales, which we all want, all without needing a full-time marketing team. And that is something that, you know, this is a topic that we've covered here on the show before, but I feel like I learn something every time. And if we can be more efficient at this, the better off we are, because we all have other things to do, and this is just one of our many jobs. Amanda is a Western lifestyle content creator known for blending authentic storytelling with marketing instincts. Hey, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So we just discovered you're in Georgia, right?
Yeah, yeah. When you said East Coast, I was like, well, maybe he's on the East Coast too.
Yes.
But yeah.
Right?
I'm a Georgia gal.
I'm four hours from you, just down 75.
Yeah.
Although you're in the north side of Atlanta, so it may be 5 or 6 hours, depending on traffic.
So, honestly, yeah. Depending on how many wrecks there are, if there's a game or a concert going on, you never know. Atlanta is a nightmare.
I assume you're a horse girl.
Yes, sir, I am.
Yep.
Born and raised. My dad was a bull rider. And
oh, wow.
I remember going to the Alfredo Rodeo when I was little and watching the girls in their colorful Rockies run in the pattern. And I'd be like, I want to do that when I get older. My dad was like, I don't know how I can get you to do that. But I had a good neighbor next door that had some extra barrel horses that his daughter said were too slow for her. And they were the best teacher you can get for a kid is a good broke horse. And that's me barrel racing a couple years ago. I've doing it ever since. So a little over 20 years now.
Well, that's fantastic. That's really cool. So tell us about Neon Wrangler. So where did that come from?
Okay. So it is kind of funny because I did used to wear like very neutral colors when I barrel raced. But like I said,
were
I did
you the
always...
only one?
No. In a sea of neutral, be neon is what I say, because there's not many people that, unless you're like 5 years old, you don't wear neon colors quite as much. But I did grow up in the 90s, and I remembered that was my favorite time was the 90s and rodeos and those colorful shirts that everyone wore with the fun patterns and the colorful Rockies. Like when I think of those rodeos my dad went to, like that's what I remembered. So I used to just be a barrel racer. I had no fashion sense. I mean, I'd wear basketball shorts and a big t-shirt, and my husband's friend's nickname for me sometimes was Butch, because that's just how I dressed. Like no fashion sense. And in 2017 we went to the NFR for the first time, and one of my friends who was very fashionable was like, you know, you have to dress up for that, right? And I was like it's just a rodeo. What?
Yeah.
I'm gonna wear my Spur Life shirts, and that's who I was going with.
Just
was
a rodeo.
Yeah, just a rodeo. Okay, just a big. I haven't been to any big rodeo. You know, I've just been to stuff on the East Coast. I hadn't been to Rodeo Houston or nothing like that at this time, so I didn't know what a big rodeo was. She was like, "No, we have to pick out your outfit." So she came over and somehow helped me throw together 10 outfits, because we were there all 10 days. My first time going, which I don't recommend to anyone. Do not.
No, that's jumping in the deep end. That's
my friend was going. One of my best friends is a vendor. He owns Spur West, these little buckle necklaces that you've probably seen. Mm-hmm. And he was selling t-shirts at the time, and he was going as a vendor, and we were all going out there to help him. And we learned a lot that year. We learned a lot about being first time vendors, first time goers, first time in Vegas. It was an experience. But anyway, I've kind of built on fashion ever since then. Like I kind of saw a way into this industry that wasn't just barrel racing. It was like a new way for me to be involved in the Western industry that wasn't just revolving around horses. And I've been every year since. This is my ninth year going. In 2020, when they had it in Texas, I was walking past the Neon Moon Saloon. And that was kind of back in the time when people were coming up with trendy Instagram names, like West Desperado had one, Retro Amiga, Western Gringo. All the cool girls had cool names. And I text my friend that owns Spur West, and I was like, I want a cool name. I said, help me come up with something. I was like, I want to be one of these fashion girlies. I don't want to be just a barrel racing page anymore. And I was walking past. I said, I like the word neon. I like Neon Moon Saloon. I like something like that. And he was like, well, what about Neon Wrangler? And I was like, ooh, I like that. And so I changed my name. And then I did a photo shoot as Barbie. It was like when Barbie was coming out or something. And I did a photo shoot as Barbie and wore a wig, a pink wig. And then I was like, wait. I was like, if I'm the Neon Wrangler, I need to wear colorful stuff. Like, that's a new way for me to hit the market right there. Not many people wear really bright, colorful stuff all the time. And it's just kind of escalated from there with the name and now the clothing.
And obviously it works. You're here.
So, it does. Yeah. It made me. And I did always like to stand out. Even as a barrel racer, I would do quirky little things. Like, I wore my belt buckle sideways on my hips sometimes, or I hate to admit this, but I would tuck my pants into my boots so you could see the tops of my boots. Like, not many people did stuff. I just wanted to do little things to stand out. So I guess it's kind of always been in me to be the one that likes to stand out.
So what's the lesson there for retailers and their brands?
Even if you got the same product, you can market it a little bit different by just changing up a little something, or maybe changing up how you market it just to make it stand out, because people remember things that stand out instead of blending in with the crowd.
You start out your marketing one way. Let's say a store's been open for a long time and they've done kind of their social media one way. And maybe it's been okay, right? It's not been super successful. It's just been okay. Can you go a whole different direction successfully?
I think so. I think if you go and just really focus on building a connection with your audience likes buying from personal connections, and like they want to feel like they're your friend. Like, that's how, and I see this working well with businesses, not just creators too. Like, businesses that come on here and they act like they're the content creator and they put their face with their brand, and people want to feel like they're buying from their friend, they're supporting their friend, they're showing up for their live sales and stuff like that. They just want to feel included. And I think if you totally rebranded yourself, as long as you did it the right way, you could.
Yeah, I agree. I think they do. I think so too. And by the way, that answer that you just gave is people want you to be their friend, is the answer that we've gotten from most of the guests we've had on this show. Yeah. And it's true even in podcasting and in, you know, content creation, whether you're doing it for your store or for yourself or for a show or whatever you're doing it for, all has kind of the same rules. You know, our listeners on Horses in the Morning feel like we're their best friends. You know, we're in their ears every day.
Yeah.
And I may not know them, but I'm their best friend. And that's true. You know, Tampa Airport does a tremendous job with their social media. They have the best social media because it's down to earth. It's entertaining. I feel like I know those people and could go to dinner and have a drink with them. And that's what you're looking for in your store. I don't care how big you are. Chewy has done a very good job of that too.
I've actually heard about Tampa Airport too.
Yeah. And you know, not to pick one out, but Chewy's done a good job with that, with their social media, as being relatable and being friendly. You know, friendly is a good word, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So, and that's a good word in how your media comes across. Does it come across friendly, or does it come across, I'm a business, I'm in business, I'm trying to sell you something? And I think that's a good lesson too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think you have to find a fine line on being friendly, but also cutting to the chase quickly. And it is such a fine line, and you really have to like narrow it down and see what works for you. But you want to be friendly, but you don't want to come off too long-winded at the beginning of videos. You kind of want to come off like you're in the middle of a conversation with the best friend, FaceTime type of situation, and you're getting straight to the point with them. They want to feel like they're in conversation, but they want you to get to the point almost immediately. Like, it's so tricky on how to actually gather someone's attention nowadays, but we don't want to feel like we're being sold to. We want to be able to stop scrolling with you telling us a relatable story or whatever it is, but we want you to get to the point quick. We don't want you to be too long-winded with how you're talking.
I noticed a lot of the very successful content creators now also have a catch line that they use at the beginning of every one of their videos, and it's one line. It's not a paragraph. It's not sentences. It's a couple of words or one line, and I find myself going, okay, I need to hang around for this because I've heard that line before and I liked what came next. It's the power of association there.
Yeah,
that one line is what got my attention. And I remembered the second time I saw them pop up, okay, I need to hang around for what's after.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Some of the most popular people, they do have that like catchphrase they say at the very beginning. I haven't been able to come up with one yet. I wish I could. But some ways, like if you can't come up with one or think of something unique to say, is you could just like label a series and have like a series. It doesn't have to be every video you're doing like this. You call it a series. Maybe you post one a week or two a week, and you could call it like Cowgirl Tuesdays, like, or get dressed with me Tuesdays, or, you know, whatever. A catchier name than that, but like, yeah, something that kind of like goes together. Just whatever you can think of where at least they'll recognize that on your page once or twice a week versus you can't come up with the same catchphrase to say every single video.
That becomes your catchphrase, though. You know, yeah, we do segments in the show that we do every week, and people know those segments by the title of the segment, and they know what's coming when they hear the segment. So if you do, you know, Colorful Thursday, I don't care if it is the most clever name in the world, right?
Yeah.
If you do Colorful Thursday, people are going to go, okay, I liked Colorful Thursday the last time. I got to hang around for it again this time.
Yep,
I agree. It's all association, and I can't agree with you more about the titles, you know, and about coming up with, we call them segments in our shows, but coming up with the names for the segments. It gives them something to relate to and to look forward to.
Yep, we call them series online, and you can do whatever you want with it. There's so many different series. You could do a different series every single day and draw a new audience for every single different little thing you're doing, or maybe an audience likes every series you're doing. But
now you ended up on being TikTok's your big place, right? Your favorite?
Instagram is actually my bigger place.
Okay.
Yeah. TikTok did grow faster for me, but then I focused more on Instagram. So
why Instagram? Did you find more of your people there?
I think I do like video. But I think I like picture content a little more. I like really taking the aspect, and I don't just go out and take pictures. Like usually I come up with like a whole concept for my post. Like the music will go with the caption and what I'm doing in the pictures. And I'll do like carousel posts that is kind of like a little like photo shoot that all ties together. That's truly what I like doing. And when I get a good idea, like that's what I run with, is building these little photo shoots. Video form content was just something I was doing for fun back in the day when it first started, and realized that not a lot of the content creators were at first. And that's how I jumped on it pretty quick. I never did much storytelling, and now I'm getting more into that with barrel racing vlogs and stuff like that on my other TikTok page that I have just for barrel racing. But nowadays I just kind of do like get styled with me videos and a little more talking, some unboxings. Unboxings I think are getting a little bit dated in my opinion, but people still love to like your core audience still loves to watch them. They love to watch what you get and see what new stuff you're bringing in.
I do know a couple of retailers that do unboxings and do very well because they're unboxing large boxes of stuff they're getting in for the store, because so then it's a little bit different, right?
And I think that's a great idea for a store to do because the people want to see the newest product you're bringing in. Your core audience is going to want to see that. Now, someone that doesn't already follow you may scroll past it, but that's where you build a connection with the people that already do follow you.
The ones that I've seen do it very well are doing it in a way, so they do the unboxing, but during the unboxing, they already have it set up that somebody has the outfit on. One of their employees has the outfit on. So after they do the unboxing, the employee comes in and, you know, they do it in a very funny way too. So, I mean, that's perfect. You can look at stuff in a bag, right, that's ready to hang up on the wall, but that's not as exciting as seeing it, right, and seeing it on somebody.
That's a great idea.
So they do have it kind of set up that way, and the one even had a horse at the barn with the blanket already on, you know, and and the horse was not cooperating, which made it even funnier, you know. So, so you know, it. And again, it's what we've said in the past, and you've learned this too, I'm sure, is that you don't. It doesn't have to be perfect. Matter of fact, if it's not perfect, it's probably a little better.
Honestly, consistency is key.
So let's get back. We haven't talked a lot about doing the slideshows, which, by the way, are a video. It's just not you talking in a video. It's not you in front of the camera doing a selfie video, right? But it is a video. It's video. You know, you're showing a series of pictures with music. It's video.
Yeah.
So let's get back to that, because there's a lot of our retailers that may not be comfortable in front of the camera at all. That's just not something they're ever going to do. Have you found that these are still effective on a place like Instagram?
Yeah, carousel posts. I think they're still very effective. They still perform very consistently. Now I say they perform well with your audience. I don't think they're drawing in a whole lot of new people to your page right now. If you're wanting to get new eyes on your page, trial reels and reels in general are the way to get like new audiences to your page, but they're being shown to your followers very well. And that's how you build a real audience that trusts you and will buy product from what you post and support and comment on your stuff and then go like the brands that you've tagged and, you know, follow them. I mean, to me, it's more important to have an engaged audience than to have a high amount of followers.
I totally agree.
I'm lucky to have what I have, but I would much rather have an engaged audience that really supports what I do and likes what I do.
Totally agree. I mean, we don't have the biggest podcast audience in the world, but our latest survey, 90% of them bought a product we recommended from a sponsor in the last year.
That's awesome.
That's what you need. Numbers. That's what you want, right? It doesn't matter if it's 10 million, you know, if you have 1,000, but 90% are going to buy something because they trust you. That's what you need. And it's the same with retailers doing this. So we talk about, you and I talk about storytelling, and we know that's, you know, that's the lifeblood of social media. Even all the social media people who are successful are telling a story. You may not like the story. You may not be interested in that particular story, but they're all telling a story. And I'm an improv performer, so stories are my life. But how do you build a story when you're a retailer? Give them some examples of something they could do.
I think just showing your daily life is a good way, like as a retailer, is a good way to build a story. Because there's people like me who have no idea what it's like to run a small business that I'd love to sit here and just watch a video. And you don't even have to be talking to the camera. You can be doing a voiceover if you want of an action of me just watching you get your new product in, unbox it, unpackage it, put it away, and then maybe pack an order, show us how you pack your little packaging all cute while you're talking about it or telling us a story. There's many ways that you can do that. And then you can use the same clips and just tell a different story and reorganize those same. If you don't want to record a lot, batch record a bunch of clips, edit them in different ways, and then just tell different stories.
You're creating your own B-roll, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Just create literally that's all you have to do. Put it into CapCut or, TikTok and hit the auto generate and let it, you know, batch create it for you.
I was going to ask you what, so somebody that's getting brand new into creating slideshows or whatever they're doing, videos, what would you recommend software wise? Just doing it right in TikToks or right in Instagrams? Or
that is probably the easiest way, in my opinion. Like, I got really comfortable with editing in TikTok and I almost edit everything in TikTok. Or CapCut.
They have made TikTok better too, haven't they? It's gotten better recently.
TikTok to me has always been better than Instagram. Instagram was kind of, there was a time around 2022 and 2023 where Instagram was kind of hard to use to edit wise. Like, it was hard to like sync up your mouth with the words, and I got frustrated. So I just went straight to TikTok. And you can use CapCut, which CapCut is owned by TikTok, so it's very similar. It's just a little easier to edit like long form videos and shrink them down. make things you already have in your camera roll. It's easier on CapCut, but it transfers. It's like edits for Instagram. It transfers right into TikTok.
And they don't need professional cameras to do this. Use your phone. For what we're doing, use your phone.
You can use your phone.
It's better than most of the cameras we ever bought in our lives anyway. I mean, if you're a professional, honestly, maybe, but you know, you don't need it.
This is all you need, and then just to clean the lens off.
Glad you said that. I watched one the other day that did have a big smudge on the...
That's my biggest tip. It's just clean. Just make sure you clean the lens and do your video.
If
now I have like a 13, so if you've got one of the new phones...
Oh, yeah, you're good. There you go. I mean, that's not even close to the most modern one.
And up until recently, this is all I used for my content was my phone. I didn't have a camera, and I still don't have a professional camera. I just got one of those little Canon G7X digital, fancy digital ones that I can take with me to things.
I have a professional one right over there. Hasn't been out of the bag in 2 years. I mean, it's because I got my phone. What do I need it for? Now, I will say there's a program, if you want to write this down, everybody, if you're getting a little more advanced in editing, I use a program called Wondershare. It's not a very well-known one, but I learned it in literally an hour to edit video. I've done a million, or probably done 10,000 audio edits because of the podcast, but I don't do video. And that one was so easy to do video. So we have a 6-hour live event we do every year at Christmas, and we have 20, 30 videos that we have to edit for that. And we use Wondershare for that. And it's not expensive either. So if you're looking for something that's a little more advanced, but easy to learn and doesn't cost much, I recommend Wondershare.
I'm always looking for an easier way to edit videos. I think everyone is.
It's just the one, and you can separate the sound and level the sound separately if you want, and then just plunk it back in and it doesn't get all messed up. It just was the, if I could do it, anybody can figure that out, because I am not a video editor.
Sometimes it is so hard, like you're trying to get a voiceover to line up just right, and it's gotten all funky and messed up, and it can be very frustrating.
I think this one, I think if you give it a try and you know a little bit, you probably have to know a little bit, but there are some videos on how to use it. And in an hour, I watched those videos and I was using it. So that's one I do recommend. So what do you see? We're coming into the holidays. You've been now to Las Vegas for how many years at Christmas?
This is my 9th year.
Okay.
Going straight.
What's going to work in social media this year?
This year, I'm taking a little different approach because it can, I swear the days in Vegas are 2 times speed. They go by so fast.
Everything in Vegas goes fast.
It does. I don't know if it's the time difference.
I think it's the dinging in our ears the whole time. I think that's what does it.
It is. But I mean, your days can really slip by. And with me being a content creator in fashion, strictly, I wear 2 outfits a day. And those two outfits a day are brand deals. So I have to get good pictures of them. Sometimes I find myself, it's 12 o'clock at night, Vegas time, which is 3 a.m. Georgia time, in case y'all didn't know. And I haven't gotten my outfit pictures yet. And you just kind of take them where you can and wherever. Well, this year I'm going to go out 2 days early and I'm going to pre-shoot some of my outfits and pick ideal locations and make sure the pictures are pretty and are already in my drafts, so that all I have to do is add some day of pictures and hit post. That way I can like actually enjoy my experience this year instead of being at a party and like trying not to be rude to look at my phone, but also like just being worried because I haven't got my post up yet. And now it's 12 a.m. Georgia time.
Good, we've all been there.
There's nothing. And I think that's what makes it so stressful is like, literally, I'm just like, I'm wanting to be present in the moment, but also I'm just so looking at my phone, worried about like posting the content, and now I'm behind and I haven't posted yesterday's content yet.
And it's interesting because a lot of people probably look at content creators and go, oh, that's, you know, a cushy thing. And they get to do all this fun stuff. What they don't realize is while we're doing all that fun stuff all day long, all we're thinking about is the video.
Absolutely.
Or the audio or whatever it is. All we're thinking about is our next post.
You're literally, you're just there. You're working 24/7. There's times when I come to Wessa specifically, I come with my friend Bree and we wake up and we're editing what we did yesterday. Yep. And we're trying to get it posted. We go straight to Wessa to create more content. We eat, we come home, we're editing. Like we wake up editing, we go to bed editing. We are doing our little like showroom visits and seeing the brands in between and sitting down, trying to give ourselves a 10-minute window in between to edit and post. We're working from sun up to sundown at every event we go to.
I've hosted almost 5,000 episodes of podcasts now. And what the thing I always say is, this is the fun part. Everything else is work. It's a job. Everything else is work that we have to do. This is the fun part right here. You know, this is the part we look forward to, that you look forward to, is the creation part. But then everything else has to get done, or nobody sees the creation.
Literally, if I could hire someone to do all my editing, all my video editing, but then be like part of my mind and get it done the way I want it done, I would in a heartbeat. Because that is the hard part, is the editing.
And that's posting. The other part about content creators is we're control freaks. So that doesn't help us. Actually, it's not a plus.
I need like an AI app where I can just like put some clips.
Oh,
in
we're close to that.
Like, it's got to be right around the corner.
Yeah, we're close to that.
Be here. I just don't know the name of one yet. I've looked.
I'm going to be replaced by an AI voice soon, I think.
We're all going to be replaced by AI soon. And I'm just waiting for the day I get scammed by AI because.
Yeah, but they're not going to look at AI's not going to look as good in the outfits. They're just not.
Never say never, because sometimes I catch myself, I'm like, is that AI?
I know. It is true. I think it's going to be a little slower in our world to, although it's catching on now.
Everything's a little slower in the Western industry, which
I just say the horse industry, not even just Western and English, true. Both. Yeah, it's both. So we're coming. I want to get back to what you said about doing photo shoots and things outside, even outside of your store for the holidays. But do them now. You know, you should have done them about four weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
we're doing pre-NFR photo shoots. I did one last week in Arizona. I'm leaving Wednesday, going to do more pre-NFR photo shoots. So brands can use this content either while we were at NFR to push their product or right before, you know, that Black Friday.
Yep. And with retailers, NFR. You're going to get busy in another week and it's just going to be nonstop. And you're not going to have time to think about it. That's why I'm encouraging, get that B-roll, get those pictures, get those photos done now. If you have the product in, sometimes you don't. That's a negative. If the product's coming in late, you don't have anything to do about it. But get what you can done now, and you can do the videos now and use them later. The more of that you can get done in the next 2 weeks, the better off you are.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you have somebody that's an employee that's a half decent photographer with their phone, you know, who can figure out light a little bit and just has a good eye, get them to take the pictures.
Get a tripod. If you don't, it's just me and my wobbly tripod against the world out here. You have no idea. it would be different if we were like mainstream creators in the city on pavement. No, I'm out here in the pasture on unlevel ground.
With your tripod sitting like this.
trying to get that thing to stand up straight and not fall over.
Trying to find a rock to put under it.
You have no idea.
We've all done that.
That's the most frustrating part of the job, I swear. It's just trying to get the tripod to stand up straight and not fall over in the wind.
If you know you're a horse person, you know you're a creator in the horse world when your tripod is 1 foot is sitting on a pile of horse poop, and that's what's holding it up level.
I'm not going to lie, I have done that before. It's been when you're frustrated and it's hot outside and you're tired, you're already sweating in the outfit, and it's daytime outside, so you can barely see your phone screen. It's already getting dimmer for some reason by the minute, and you can barely see it. And you're like, I'll use anything.
You're really selling it being a creator here.
Sometimes I wish I had two phones, one so I could record myself just doing the things I have to do to capture the content, and two, the one to capture the content.
That would be a good vlog, actually.
I know. That's a write-off. I need to just get another phone.
Yeah, you need to do that. You definitely need to do that. So if we're running out of time, what do you want to leave retailers with as we're going into this holiday season, as it involves storytelling or video or, you know, slideshows, whatever it is?
I'm going to leave you with a tip about the two types of videos, and that's short form video and long form video. And they're both very important to do. I don't think you should focus on one more than the other, or solely on one and not the other. I think short form video, and when I say short form video, I mean 5 to 7 seconds tops. I just posted a 5-second video last night as a trial reel.
Oh, wow. You need really short.
Oh, yeah. It's on my Facebook. It's on my trial reel Instagram, and it's on TikTok. On Instagram and Facebook, it's already at I woke up, it was at 30,000 this morning.
Okay, so give us an example of what a 5-second video included. Last night, what did it include?
It's a video of me leg lifting around a barrel, and it's a pretty extreme leg lift. So it's something that's very eye catching. So either your video needs to be very eye catching, something that they're going to want to watch more than once. Like, you want the people to watch it as many times as you can. Like, and if it's 5 seconds, they're going to sit there and kind of watch it about 3 or 4 times. Or it's got to have really engaging text on the screen, something that, like, bonus points if you can start a fight in your comment section between people, you know, be a little controversial. I don't like fighting with them, but if they want to fight on their own in the comment section, there's nothing I can do there. But I mean, you got to do what you got to do. It gets you the engagement. So that is the quickest way to build an audience. Short form videos is how to get your page in front of new people. Okay. Long form videos, while they might not perform as well as short form videos, I think they're still very important to have, because that's how you build a connection with your existing audience. That's how they get to know you on a personal level, see what your daily life is like, see what products you use in your daily life. So, like, as a brand, if you send me a product, which I'll use Hey Chicks, for instance, with their Hey Nets. They've sent me a Hey Net. I did a short form video of it. It's gotten over 5 million views across platforms. Wow. That did very well. That performed very well
for them. Was your horse destroying it, or what was your horse doing to it?
It's literally me just putting hay in it and closing it is all it is. And I have on the screen, it says, people don't like to use hay bags because they can be kind of
that's
hard to
a horse husband's nightmare, hay bag.
Yeah. And this is, it's like a hay feeder. So it comes down and you shove it with hay, and
it is
closes
easy.
Really easy. Yeah. It's the free up feeder.
Yep, it is easy.
Sorry, my throat. It's very easy to use. And I think I just said something like, oh, I don't like a little girl. I don't like using hay nets because they're hard to fill is all I put on the screen. And it.
Because everybody that has a horse can relate to that.
Yeah. And it also started an argument in the comment section. People saying, you know, people arguing with each other about why they like hay nets, why they don't like hay nets, why my hay net's too low, why it's too high.
Okay, I if you're arguing for hay nets, I have trouble with them. we use them, but I don't like them at all as a horse husband, you know.
I use them every day, but I use those free up feeders every single day.
I can do that.
Yeah. I just ordered a new one and ordered they like redid their locks, so they lock a little easier. I reordered like new locks for all my old ones, just cuz even like just being able to close it and do this instead of like closing it and like helping it.
You're married, right? Didn't you tell me you're married? Get your husband to do it next time. That's your short video. And the line is, even horse husbands can do it.
Writing this down right now, because I literally just ordered a new
one. That's brilliant. I get a commission on that one. Okay.
Yeah. See, I'm gonna come to you for ideas.
I need to start doing these. What's wrong with me?
You could be a content creator, Glenn.
I kind of am, but long form. We do an hour, you know, so we're real long form.
yeah, literally. But long form videos is going to be how you're going to build a relationship.
But your video there that got all the views, it just goes to show it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It was simple.
It
throw hay in a hay net and shut it.
Literally, it that's the quickest way. And then you don't have to worry about editing a 10-minute long video. But I'm going to say, like, it's still good to do that, because that's how you're going to keep the people that came to your page interested in your page.
That's how you become their friend.
Exactly. Yep. And you don't just sit there and talk about your product for 10 minutes to them, holding it up, saying, here, buy this pencil. I love this pencil. You do stuff in your video, and you use your pencil just nonchalantly, and you use this pencil every time you're doing a video. And sometimes you might talk about it a little bit here and there, but people are going to see you using this in all your videos and wondering what it is and why. And then that's how you draw attention to the product you're trying to sell without being salesy.
Right. Well, Amanda, you've been great. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you being here. You will be at WESA in January. You going to be there?
Most likely. Yeah. I've been at almost every one for the past 3 years, and I don't have any plans not to be, but okay. I got to get past NFR first.
Yeah, I know.
I got to survive Vegas.
Well, good luck at Vegas this year.
Thank you.
Sounds like you're going in more prepared, so it should be a little less stressful than
after 9 years, I hope I can survive it, but
we all say that every time we do big events, and every time we're in the middle of the big event, we go, I'm going to do better next year, and we never do.
Every single time, I'm like, I'm going to do, but this year I hired an assistant. I'm doing pictures before it even starts. I'm like, I am determined.
You're ready.
I'm like, I am determined. I am starting to take vitamins now so I don't get sick.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Amanda, where can they find you?
You can find me on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram as Neon Wrangler, or if you want to check out my barrel racing page, it's called Only Cans, and that is only on TikTok right now.
I like that.
I will sell pictures.
I watch a creator whose name is Only Pans. You probably run into her.
She does cooking. Beautiful.
See?
I love it.
Yeah.
See?
But it gets my attention every time, you know?
And we're only cans.
Yeah, it's perfect. I love that. So thank you for joining us for today's WESA Retail Roundup. Of course, we have a WESA trade show coming up in January. You're going to want to get signed up now. Head over to WESATradeshow.com for all the details on everything. We'll have another retail roundup released for you next week. I think we're doing ones the next 2 weeks, and then we'll have a little break because you're all going to be kind of busy for the holidays, selling stuff, we hope. And then we'll be back. We'll hopefully be seeing you, a bunch of you, in January at the trade show. And thank you to Sophia for putting all of this together from WESA. We appreciate her a lot. She's here listening, so I thought I'd give her a thank you today. Thank you, Sophia,
thank
for
you,
all
Sophia.
Your help in doing everything. You're terrific. And we'll talk to you all next week. See you, Amanda.
Bye.